Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by Ram Trucks. Guts, glory, Ram.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Somebody open the front door! Stevens Howling's coming in!
Oh, baby!
Wells runs over a defender, knocks his helmet off, and gets into the end zone for a touchdown.
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
You know, even if you have a 2015 vision in the eyes of a 22-year-old, seemingly when you get into an NFL season, everyone can wear bifocals. And you know what I mean by that, guys? Ron Wolfley, Darren Urban, Jim Omohundro over there, Paul Calvisi here on Cardinals Underground, azcardinals.com, always brought to you by Ram Trucks, Guts, Glory, Ram. Bifocals. You can either, you know, look at it two ways. You can look at the season in general, and you can look at the details, and you can look at right up front what just happened, what's right in front of you, the last game. Or you can look up top of your glasses, and you can zoom out and look at the entire season as one.
I would say zoom out, Paul.
That's what
I prefer. I know where you're going with that, but to me, Paul, just the fact the Arizona Cardinals are 4-1, I know for a fact that if you would have asked the coaches in the coach's office, if you would have asked any of the front office personnel, if you would have asked the owner, if you would have asked the players in the locker room, you know, look, you're 4-1. Would you take that after the first 5 weeks of the season for this team? Absolutely. I think we all know for a fact everyone we'd be throwing a party right now. It's just a myopic view that you lose this game on a short week while you had to travel against a division foe. I think it's also how you lost the game. The fact you gave up 9 sacks. Now all of a sudden you've got a lot of people pushing the panic button, which I think it's important that the coaches, and I know they're doing this, and that the players in the locker room, and I know they're doing this as well, I think they hit the reset button and just zoom out a little bit and take things holistically, so to speak. Look at the 4-1 record.
Does it feel like 4-1, Darren Urban?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, here's why I say yes. I mean, I started considering this the other day. I mean, you're still talking about a team that has beaten Seattle over 500, a team that has beaten New England over 500, a team that has beaten Philadelphia over 500. I mean, it's not like you could look at an upcoming opponent like the Vikings that the Cardinals are going to play. Yeah, they beat the 49ers. I'll give them that one clearly. But they're 4-1. But who else have they beaten besides the 49ers? And, that kind of should be immaterial anyways, because if you're piling up wins in this league, you deserve some credit. And I do think that I agree with Wolf. There is a certain sky's falling mentality right now. And it is, I think it's definitely, I don't think there's any question, it's because of how it happened, because of the sacks, the concern already with the run game. And then all of a sudden you get the sacks thrown in, and it's like, you know, how are they going to dig themselves out of this hole? But you know what? If they win this weekend, it's all going to be good again. Is it going to be perfect? No, but this isn't a perfect football team. And unless you're right now the 49ers, I don't know if there is a perfect football team.
Can I jump in here and just say this? It would be more disconcerting to me if the Arizona Cardinals would have lost against the St. Louis Rams because the defense went out and gave up 29 points.
Yeah.
30 points, somewhere in there. That would have been way more disconcerting to me. The reason being, the Arizona Cardinals, the strength of this football team is their defense. I think coming into the season, we all realized the offensive line was going to be a big question mark. The offensive line was going to go through a lot of growing pains, to say the least. Well, you know what? They held up pretty well in the first 3 games of the season. But what happened in the Miami game and what happened in the Rams game is the fact that the offense became one-dimensional. They became one-dimensional out of necessity. This is the first time the Cardinals really got behind in a game. Now, I know they were behind in New England by 3 points. I know they were behind against Seattle. But in the first 3 games of the season, the Cardinals scored first. And that was not the case against the Miami Dolphins. That was not the case against the St. Louis Rams. They became one-dimensional in these games, and that's really what did them in. Look, to me, if you would have told me that the Cardinals' defense would have struggled after struggling against Miami and Ryan Tannehill, I would have had a lot. I'd be a lot more worried. Let's put it that way.
But okay, so. Here's the thing. They gave up 5 sacks in the first 3 games. And we all saw what Seattle did, especially in that first half against Green Bay, right, with the 8 sacks. So, Wolf, are you telling me, and I'm trying honestly, genuinely just to understand your point, and yes, if you get behind, obviously the defense has the ability, especially the pass rushers, if you believe all the offensive linemen, they're pinning their ears back and they're coming. But it was a 7-3 game for much of the first half. It was a one-possession game for almost the entirety of the game. Are you saying just that little bit of a lead changes the entire dynamic for the O-line?
No, I do believe that, Paulie. I think that it did. I know it was a one-possession game for over a half against the Rams. But, you know, also, too, I think it hurt us that we weren't running the ball and getting any type of yardage running the football, whereas in some of the other games, you know, they at least 3 yards a carry. They were averaging that. They were well below 3 yards a carry in the Ram game. And I think that really kind of hurt the play calling for Mike Miller and what the coaches wanted to do because – you know, again, you want to be successful, and I think they had confidence based on how Kevin Cobb played the week before and how he's really played in the first 4 weeks of the season. I think that gave them some confidence that they could throw the ball against the Rams.
Well, and I'm going to make this point, and I know no one wants to hear the excuses, and this comes across a little of an excuse to a point, but I'm going to agree with Ken Wisenhunt with the idea that had they hit some of those things, you know, that they should have hit, everything changes. And you know, that it changes the perception of the play calling. It changes, obviously, the outcome of the game, or at least how the game would have played out. I mean, I think of some of those, I think of some of those throws, especially in the first half, and it's hard, as much as they didn't run and all that stuff, it's hard not to see some of those pass plays and think to yourself, well, I mean, they called up those pass plays and they should have worked if that pass had been on target or if that pass hadn't been dropped. Even with all the pass rush pressure, even with everything else that went into it, I mean, they had some things that in that game it should have worked. And let's not get past the fact that this was the first game where the offense didn't score some points. I mean, they're not going to be the Patriots, obviously, offensively in terms of how they score. But, I mean, this is the first time they didn't score 20 points. I mean, even against Miami, with all the troubles they had with the pass rush, they still had 21 points in regulation. I mean, I think that's how they're built. They're built to be in that 20 to 24-point range offensively, and then they're going to count on their defense to come to the table. And the offense did not hold up its end of the bargain, whether that was because of the short week or the bad timing or whatever it was, I tend to look at it like it's probably not going to hold up, you know, even if you have issues on the offensive line, which they probably are going to have a certain amount of those the rest of the year as constituted.
And you know, I know fans don't want to hear this, but, you know, who brings absolutely 100% every day on the job at their job? And I can't tell you, I had at least 3 guys afterwards and in the locker room tell me, and they're very honest, say, look, Darren College said it on camera, maybe we bought into our own hype. Andre Roberts, we weren't ready to play. I just, the intensity, the complete focus wasn't there. And I think it showed in a lot of, you know, there was the sloppiness on offense, there's some of the drop passes, you know, things just
bad
weren't
penalties.
Crisp and just weren't being executed that way.
Yeah, but you know what, guys, you could see that coming a mile away. You truly could when you look at the dynamics of the Cardinals' first 4 games of the season. I mean, think about what they had accomplished. Think about Seattle. 4 straight emotional games. Think about Seattle and the way that game finished, the way that game ended. And it was a divisional game, and it was the opening game of the season. And then again, going to New England on the road, and then coming back after stunning the world and beating the Patriots at Gillette Stadium, coming back here, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Boy, that a quality beatdown win that they had at home. That was an emotional game as well, with Andy Reid over on the other sideline, DRC over there, Kevin Cobb, of course, as a quarterback, Michael Vick. That was an emotional game. And then, of course, an overtime game against the Miami Dolphins. You could, to me, on a short week, going to St. Louis, where you're the traveling team, you could see this coming a mile away. At some point in time, there was going to be a bit of an emotional letdown. A correction, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I think we saw the Cardinals won the toss. They deferred to the second half, kicked off. Sam Bradford, 5 plays, touchdown. Suddenly they're behind in this game early. I think the defense definitely played better as the game went along. But you know what? They got behind the eight ball early, and they were due to have some type of emotional letdown.
And this is going to be the kind of team that this team is. The margin for error isn't going to be great.
True.
I even look at Monday Night Football this week. I mean, Houston is playing as well as any team in the National Football League, and everybody expecting them to go jack stomp all over the Jets, and that game was close. And the Jets didn't play well at all.
And it still was close. Drop passes all over the field.
So, I mean, this is how it's going to be. If anybody's going to be looking for style points, if anybody's going to be looking for dominant performance, or most teams aren't dominant in this league. They're just not. I mean, you have good teams. Don't get me wrong. There are some very good teams out there, but everybody's got flaws, and that's why nobody goes undefeated. And, you know, the question is are the Cardinals going to be able to pile up enough wins by the end of the season to get to the postseason? And that's really all it's about.
Well, the Buffalo Bills, the next opponent, were just victimized in the most dominant performance in the NFL season, 45-3. They took the business end of that from the 49ers. We'll get to them momentarily. But who will the Bills see at running back? What is the running back situation as we know it, Darren Urban?
Well, unfortunately, obviously Beanie Wells has already been out. Now Ryan Williams is gone for the season, suffering a coracoid
fractured shoulder. That's what I go with. Fractured shoulder.
Some rare injury that, you know, Ryan said that these doctors here with the Cardinals hadn't seen an instance of it in a decade. It happens very rarely. It usually only happens in car wrecks, and for it to happen on a play like that, and you go back and look, we all assumed that Ryan was knocked out because of the way he fell.
Right.
And I went back and looked at a couple of replays and everything, and talked to Ryan about it enough, and it hurt so much when it happened. That's why he kind of went flat. But he never actually lost consciousness. He was just hurt that bad. He thought he was going to be able to get over it, and obviously now he's got season-ending surgery. So now you're down to Larod Stevens-Howling and William Powell and Alphonso Smith, and you know we're going to see how much the hyphen can do, which I think he can do some things. He had 93 yards in his one start last year against Seattle, which already was starting to put together a pretty good defense. But you know this year, in limited time, he's got 12 carries for 1 yard. And, William Powell leads the NFL in rushing in the preseason, though. That's the preseason. What is that? How does that translate? And you're also running behind a line that wasn't clearing a whole lot of holes for Beanie Wells and Ryan Williams. So, I mean, I think there's tons of questions right now about that.
You know, in my conversation with Ryan Williams, you know, he said his whole body went numb, that whole left side, and that they actually came out. They thought it was a broken neck initially. That was the initial diagnosis.
Wow.
He said he was facing the opposite sideline. They're screaming, don't move, don't move, don't move. Everyone thought it was a broken neck. And he said he tried to do a push-up to get off the field. He couldn't. He just physically couldn't even do it. That's why it looked like, you know, he's motionless and limp. That's why it appeared that way.
Yeah, to me, one thing I want to say, if William Powell, if he does get an opportunity to run, I think he's actually going to do very, very well. And one of the reasons being is because he's not a perimeter runner. He's not a guy that is going to bounce it to the outside. And now he may cut it back if you're going to run the inside zone or the outside zone. Maybe he may actually cut it back. But, you know, to me overall, this guy is not a guy that is going to try to bounce it outside, jump out of holes to try to get the corner, because that's not William Powell. That's not his running style. He's a grinder. He's a dirt licker. He's a guy that plays low to the ground. He runs with great leverage. He's got this herky-jerky motion, and yet he's able to find cracks and crevices and push a pile for 3 yards. I think that's what we're seeing from the Arizona Cardinals offensive line right now. We're not seeing these gaping holes being opened for running backs, and I think William Powell will be better served because of a couple of things. Number one, he just knows he doesn't have the speed to get outside. So he resigns himself to the fact that he's got to run in between the tackles, and then he runs with a determination that I think is going to serve this offensive line well.
It'll be interesting too. I mean, more than any other position in this league, you can find a guy off the scrap heap at that position and have them be successful. Now, it may not be Arian Foster successful, like long-term, hey, this is our guy for the next 3 years. But for the short term, over one game, over two games, over four games, there is no question that that's a possibility. And I think that's what the Cardinals are hoping for right now.
Well, you know, I talked to some of the coaches, and they said, you know, he was out there on third down quite a bit, William Powell. And, you know, his pass protection is not a liability. He's one of the guys who's best suited among the Cardinals running backs. So I expect him to be the every down guy for the most part. And you keep Lerod Stevens-Helling perhaps where he excels, as you mentioned, as a third down guy, you know, as a change of pace type of running back.
Well, I mean, I think at this point you need to have a little of both, obviously. And if you think Powell can be your main guy, that's fine. I think it can only help this team, assuming Lerod is healthy, to get him out there for a few more plays. I think he can make some things happen. He can make things happen in space, and he can make things happen in space on a quick pass to the side where you don't need pass protection for 5 seconds. And maybe that's some of what this team needs right now.
How much of it is just the running back in general, Wolf, and how much is the offensive front? I mean, if the Cardinals want to establish a ground game, and obviously they do, you want balance in the NFL. How much of the onus is on the O-line, and how much is on everybody else in this offense?
Well, I think there's no doubt about it, Paulie. The offensive line, I think they'd be the first ones to tell you, they've got to do better up front. They have got to do better. And I'm not even talking about the pass protection side of it. We're talking about rushing the football. And again, you watch film, and you don't see a bunch of holes. You don't see these obvious gaping holes or crevices for these running backs to run through. And that's the charge of every offensive line. They've got to get more movement. There's no denying that. They've got to control the line of scrimmage. And I think they would tell you, first and foremost, they have not done that, I think, in any of the 5 games the Cardinals have played.
All right, defensive side of the ball. Any concern at all, Darren? I mean, you know, you look at some of the numbers from that St. Louis game. Obviously, they gave it the two big plays. That's what stands out by far to me.
That's really the only thing. I mean, if you would have told me that Sam Bradford was going to complete 7 out of 21 passes and you'd lose basically because of pass plays.
And 4 of 14 on third down.
I mean, they came out, as Wolf mentioned before, they came out terrible. He completed 4 of 5 on that first drive. Looked like a world beater, although Amendola's long catch over Peterson, that was the receiver's play more than the quarterback. And then he found a wide open guy down the sideline in Givens when Toler just got beat. He tried to, for some reason, try to jump a route that he probably didn't need to jump and let the guy get behind him. And, you know, that was unfortunate. I did think that they'd get a little bit more pressure. You start, you know, maybe it's the way guy, you know, they're running plays against the Cardinals right now. It feels like the pressure has lessened a little bit the last couple weeks, even though they did get some sacks on Tannehill 2 weeks ago. And I think that's something you gotta think about. But defensively, I mean, how can you argue? 7 for 21, you give up 17 points. I mean, that's really...
They had 12 first downs.
That's really should be good enough to win. And it's hard to get on them right now. I mean, little things. You'd like to see Patrick Peterson be a little more consistent in the pass coverage than he has been the last couple of weeks. But, I mean, I feel like we're nitpicking at this point.
No, absolutely. And that's why I'll go back to my point where I said, you know what, I'd be a lot more concerned about the Arizona Cardinals at 4-1 if they would have given up 27, 30 points, whatever, to the St. Louis Rams. I'd be a lot more concerned coming off that Miami game where Ryan Tannehill, a rookie that hasn't been lighting up the NFL, suddenly passes for 431 yards. You know, you'd have to start saying, okay, all right, what has happened? What has changed from the first 3 games that we saw a lot of this defense? So the fact they came out, I think the short week, like I said, it really impacted this defense. They gave up that opening possession touchdown. That is something that is we have not seen from them at all, giving up points on the opening possession. And you know what, to me, overall, they played well enough to win. They played well enough to win and win on the road on a short week, and they rallied themselves. That was the biggest thing that I thought was a plus for the Cardinals and this defense. But again, this is the way it's going to be. This is how the Cardinals are going to have to win games. It's going to, the impetus is going to come from the defense. They're going to have to make a play from time to time on special teams in transition. We haven't seen that in the Miami game. We haven't seen that in the St. Louis game. They did not make plays in that game like they did in the first three games of the season. Kevin Cobb, he's going to have to protect the ball, not throw picks, and they're going to have to run it and try to stay balanced and remain three-dimensional. But you can only be three-dimensional and be balanced if that defense is keeping you in the game.
All right, so Darren, put the bifocals back on. You know, we can look through the bottom half and look at the Bills, or we can look through the top half and see who's coming after the Bills the next four games. It just sort of heightens the importance of the Bills game, does it not?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I mean, you got to go to a Minnesota team that's winning games. You got to play the 49ers, who I don't think anybody's going to question that they're playing probably the best football on anybody. I mean, that's where I would go.
Agreed.
I mean, you got to go to Atlanta. You got to go to Green Bay. Now, there's a bye mixed in there. But, I mean, that's a brutal stretch. Three road games, all against good teams. And we knew this. We knew coming into the season that the start for this team was incredibly important because of what was coming on in the back end. Now, down the road, I mean, all of a sudden, that road trip to New York to play the Jets, maybe not quite as daunting as maybe it once was. The game here against the Lions, maybe not quite as daunting, but maybe the Bears game here is a little more important because that Bears team looks pretty good.
Indeed. Yep. Seattle, you still have to go.
You still got to go to Seattle.
Yeah. I mean, Niners again at the end of the year.
And that you could, in theory, back-to-back weeks, the last 2 weeks, you could have the Bears here and at San Francisco needing wins to make the playoffs. I mean, It's not going to get any easier. You need to get the wins when you can, and that's why, with all due respect to the Bills, and you can't overlook them, they've been awful the last two games. They've gotten run over by the Patriots. They've gotten run over by the 49ers. They've given up 1,200 yards of offense in two games. The 49ers are the first team ever to have 300 yards rushing and 300 yards passing in a single game against this defense.
Ouch.
And Chan Gailey, the Bills coach, is saying that, you know, they're hurt as much mentally as physically. Our soul is hurt, is what he said.
Souls hurt.
I mean, I hope the Cardinals find a way to stamp on their soul a little bit.
Got to do in the first quarter. You got to come out on Sunday. You got to smash cake them in the first quarter. Remove any consideration that they're going to get a win.
You know, Paulie, that was the common denominator in the first three games of the season for the Arizona Cardinals, offensively and defensively. They got off to quick starts, and we heard Coach Wiz really emphasizing that coming out of preseason, coming out of Flagstaff. He was talking about starting fast and playing fast on the line of scrimmage, offensively and defensively and in transition, starting fast. And we saw the Cardinals do just that. And, you know, the Buffalo Bills, they're going to come in here, and believe me, they're going to be stinging. They're going to be stinging from the beatdown they've taken over the last 2 weeks, especially against San Francisco, because that was a physical mauling. They consumed the Buffalo Bills, dare I say, breathed them in. It was unbelievable when you watch it on film, and yet the Arizona Cardinals are going to be stinging as well. And Coach Wiz has pointed this out, the fact that, hey, you know what? We're stinging a little bit coming off this loss against the St. Louis Rams. So I think starting fast is going to be critical for the Cardinals all over again.
Although I will say that I asked a couple guys in the locker room, and I believe as of right now, the Cardinals do not have their soul on the injury report.
No.
I see. But we know this. If you hate and berate them, you dismiss them and disrespect them, the Cardinals seem to play better. Do they not?
They do. I think they love
it. They thrive on it.
Yes.
So in that context, you know, all the beatdown and getting beat up all week long, 10 days worth, should serve them well on Sunday against the Bills.
Yeah, absolutely, Paulie. And again, you know, I think they've got to come out and they've got to get back to who they are and how they play. And defensively, I think they need to jump out and establish their dominance right from the get-go. This is, again, a Bills team that has really struggled over the last 2 weeks. But, you know, the one thing you don't want to see them get caught up into is, okay, we got to beat Buffalo 46-3.
No,
you know what I mean? Yeah. You don't want to see them get caught up into that because of what it says about San Francisco and how San Francisco was able to play against the Bills. So, you know, again, I think the Cardinals, they've got the leadership they need in that locker room, the players, and I just think it's a confidence that has been growing in that locker room, and that's why I'm confident that this team is going to bounce back and play well against the Bills because of what I saw in St. Louis, in particular out of the defense. The offense has always been a question mark. The quarterback has always been a question mark coming into this season. The tackles have always been a question mark, and that's going to remain, I think, as the season unfolds. The one constant, the thing you can bank on, the thing you can point to and say, this is where we're going to win, is on defense and in transition with special teams.
You know what else you can bank on is if anybody's soul ends up on the injury report, Darren Urban will have it at Cards Chatter or azcardinals.com. We can bank on that. Isn't that correct, Darren?
I believe that is true, yes. Thank you for that.
Until then, just adopt the saying over there, the guys at Ram Trucks, Guts, Glory, Ram. That'd be a good game plan against the Bills. Just come out and just adopt that.
I like that.
As your philosophy.
Nice. We'll put it in the locker room.
Darren Urban, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, Jim Omohundro making it all happen here on azcardinals.com.